ABC Radio Australia.
The Pacific Islands have traditionally been thought to be largely immune from high levels of criminal activity, but that's not the case anymore, according to the Global Initiative Against Transnational Organised Crime. For the first time, it has launched a series of reports mapping regional trends in organised criminality. It's found that the Chinese government's increased presence and activity in the region has brought with it criminal organisations from China, alongside honest entrepreneurs. And although organised gangs are increasingly active, the head of the initiative's Pacific Program, Virginia Kamoli, says the bulk of the criminal activity is being conducted by businesses with legitimate covers.
Some of the forms of criminality that we have seen that are on increase are benefiting from, you know, the changes brought about by globalization and connectivity. So increased trade in the illicit sense is often accompanied by also illicit trade, because oftentimes it's a similar supply chains that are being used. But what we have noticed, particularly with regards to China's increased engagement in political but also in economic terms, is also the arrival of a greater number of entrepreneurs from China but also from other Asian countries that engage in the Pacific Islands. Many of them are totally illegitimate business actors, and many actually have been living on the islands for a very long time. Unfortunately, they've also been accompanied by a different cadre of business actors that are taking advantage of these increased investments and Chinese presence to also engage in illicit activities. And in fact, one of the most interesting findings of our work is that in many cases, the bulk of the organized criminality is not conducted by the more, let's say, traditional criminal actors such as, you know, gangs and cartels, who are also present, of course, but the bulk is actually conducted by business actors, by companies that have regular businesses that have a totally illicit facade. But in addition to that, they also engage in all sorts of criminality.
Can you give me some examples of those kinds of actors?
The extractive sector is particularly vulnerable to those activities. And here I'm talking in particular about logging and mining that in places such as Papua New Guinea and Solomon Islands, those are very resource-rich countries. We see, for instance, that most of the timber that is exported from those countries and is exported by Asian companies is unfortunately exported illegally. And so these are, as I said, legitimate companies that engage in this criminality. Unfortunately, in addition to the illicit or illegal logging or mining activities per se, there is also around those sectors additional forms of criminality linked to human trafficking, labor and sexual exploitation of both children and adults, and of course a network of corruption around those.
One thing I've noticed in covering the area for a while now is that it seems to have moved away from being a transshipment point for drug cartels to actually developing domestic markets for drugs. And there's a lot more prevalence of drugs like cocaine, methamphetamines in the region. Did you find that as well?
Absolutely. I think that is one also of the big changes that we are seeing. As you highlighted, for a long time, we've thought of Pacific Islands as simply transshipment points, but we're seeing drugs being produced. For instance, methamphetamine labs have been discovered over the past few years in a number of places, in Fiji, for instance. We've seen an increase in the number of seizures of those drugs as well. And we are seeing a development of local consumption markets, because traditionally there was some consumption of those hard drugs, but it was usually around tourist areas. So the main consumers were actually foreigners. But now we are seeing the development of a domestic market. And this is happening in places where the health services are not particularly strong. So these new trends really put a significant strain, not only especially on law enforcement, but also on the public health sector of these countries.
Do law enforcement agencies in the region, you think, have the resources necessary to tackle this increase in activity?
Throughout all the interviews that we've conducted on the ground, I think one of the recurring themes was, especially when talking to local law enforcement, was, you know, we lack resources, sometimes even the most basic resources, for instance, because we are talking about a country that often consists of multiple hundreds of islands. So if an investigation needs to take place in one of the faraway islands, there are very basic issues such as, do we have fuel for the boats to take us there? Do we have, you know, the men to send to investigate? Just to give you just two very basic examples. So that, and all the way up to, you know, developing a stronger investigative skills and capabilities, etc. Of course, Pacific Islands and their law enforcement agencies have been recipients of foreign law enforcement assistance and training from a number of different partners. So some of that, it is already happening, this strengthening of local capacity. But the challenges are significant, and the level of the current level of resilience is not high enough to withstand these growing criminal trends.